right. Good morning. How's everybody doing? I'm going to do a little bit of technical stuff just so you know. All right, good. My mic battery is going low, so you might want to cue me up back there. Appreciate you guys. I am Chris. I am the family pastor here at Journey. Pastor Mike will be back in just a couple of weeks, 2 weeks to be exact. We're excited to have him back. We're excited for his freshness to be back on the team, to pour into you guys. In case you're wondering, when is Pastor Mike coming back? 2 more weeks, and he will be back. All right, you guys look awesome out there. So this is week number 2 of Back from the Summer. Last week, we talked about how God has called us out of our past. And today, if you're really, really smart, you're going to catch on to what's going on here. But we are talking about the present. And I got to be honest with you, this message was very difficult to prepare for because it's hard to let it come out of my mouth because I am the worst at what I'm about to talk about. I might be the worst. There might be some of you guys out there. But today we are going to talk about living in the moment. Now, if you've seen the movie, how many of you have seen the first Back to the Future? All right, cool. So if you've seen the movie, there's a moment in this movie where Marty McFly goes back in time and he knocks on Doc's door and he is trying to explain to him that in the future he builds a time machine and Doc does not believe him. So what does he do? He starts asking a series of questions and says, well, who's the president in 1985? And who's the blah, blah, blah. That's the only one I can remember. But who's the president? And he tells him, you know, Ronald Reagan. And he's like, what? Ronald Reagan? The actor Ronald Reagan? And so from then on, Doc's life was a little bit different. Doc's life was a little bit different. He knew what was happening in the future, and so his life was a little bit messed up. His brain was messed up. But we are not Marty, we are not Doc, and we have no idea what is going to happen in the future. I appreciate you, man. Thank you, brother. All right, cool. All right, awesome. So here he is. He's told him that. He knows what's happening in the future. We don't know what happens in the future. Now, I might step on some toes here, but that's okay. I saw about a year ago, this is when God started dealing with it in my heart about it. I was reading something. I don't remember exactly where it was, but it said this. Marriage has now become a fight. A fight to whether or not your conversation here is more important or more interesting than what's happening here. Now, how many of you like to go out to eat? All right, good. Now, how many of you have ever been out to eat and you see a husband and wife or maybe even an entire table and they're not talking to each other? You've seen that, right? How many of you are guilty of that? Oh, man, really? I didn't expect that from you. Oh, man, oh. No, I'm kidding. We're all guilty of that. Where they're all talking and they're not talking and they're looking at their phones. You know what I think that stems from? I've tried to figure it out because I'm guilty of it. I think it stems from this idea that what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen the next day is better than what's happening now. And so maybe it pops up like this. Maybe it pops up when you're on vacation. Anybody like to go on vacation? Yeah. And you live life and you're always waiting for that next vacation. Oh, man, you heard it. We're counting down the days to Jamaica. We're counting down the days to the beach. And that's okay. But what that does is it takes the importance out of what's happening now. And it takes away the significance of today. So me and my wife, we love to live in the moment. So one day we decided, hey, let's go skydiving. So we wake up, we find this place online, we wake up, and we go skydiving, and we jump out 2 miles up. It was pretty awesome. Then another day, I didn't put this on my resume in case you're wondering, but on another day, we were like, we've talked about it before, but let's go get tattoos. Seems like a good idea. Teenagers, don't listen to that. And we went down and we drove that morning. We made an appointment. We drove left that afternoon and we went and got tattoos. We love to live in the moment. We don't want to be those people that
that say we shoulda, woulda, coulda, shoulda done this, shoulda done that. We lived there our whole life and we never did that. We lived here and we never did that. But the older I get, the harder it becomes to live in the moment. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, well, how old is he? I'm not going to tell you that because some of you guys will think, because I'm this age, I have nothing important to say, and that's probably true. So we're not going to go there. But I think there's something to be said about living in the moment. Maybe you're guilty of this. Every dead moment of the day. Maybe you're sitting in the drive-thru and there's a dead moment and you just get out your phone and you use your phone as a means of removing yourself from the boredom of what's happening. Every moment that nothing is going on, you fill it with this. Some of y'all are smiling out there. How many of you do that? I do it. I'm guilty. Every moment and then it gets worse because then you're like filling your phone. You're getting out your phone even in good moments. And you know, maybe it's when you're on vacation and you're filming everything. You've seen those people that check into everything and take 100 photos and post them of everything. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's cool. But by the third day, you're looking at all their photos and you're like, are they even enjoying vacation? Because what's happening is they're taking all these photos to remember it because they're probably not going to remember it because they're always taking pictures and checking in and doing all this stuff. And they're so busy letting everyone know what's going on in their life that they are missing what's going on in their life. And so today, hopefully I can encourage you. This isn't like a beat you down sermon because I am so guilty of it. But hopefully I can put some importance and significance on living in the moment. Let's check this out. All right, our main point of today is our salvation can change the world today. We're gonna talk about that. But our Bible story comes from my favorite guy in the Bible and possibly my favorite part of the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 2. So if you would go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. And while you're doing that, I'm going to fill you in. Some of you guys might not know this. Every single week, we upload our sermon notes to what's called YouVersion. Now, it is what most of you know as the Bible app. And you can actually get on there and search. There's a search button at the bottom. You can search Journey Church, and it'll have all the notes. And I don't want to fill you on a little bit too much, but it actually has already filled in the blanks for you. So you don't even have to write anymore. So if you ever want to take advantage of that, you can go back and look at them, screenshot them. I'm not sure how long they're up there for, but you can access them there right now during our service. So let me give you a backdrop of what we're going to read. Peter, in the book of Acts, if you didn't know, the reason it's called Acts is because it is the Acts of God. That's when God is acting in the lives of his people. So here you have Peter, and he's just had an experience with God. Now, to back up a little bit, this is that Christ was crucified. It was this big ordeal. And Peter denied Christ when it mattered most. He made the biggest mistake. He was afraid. He did the wrong thing. But now, a short period of time after that, he had an incredible experience with God. And here he is, right after this experience, he was what I like to call living in the moment. Peter steps out, and he is so riled up for God. He just starts preaching. Now, this is the same God that he had denied a little bit ago, but he starts preaching, and he's preaching the word, and he's preaching with boldness. And let's check out what happens. We're going to start in verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Verse 45.
They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So I want to use this story to lead into the core of the message today. Here you have Peter. He's had an experience with God. He's lived in that moment. He has now taken it outside of himself. Peter could have just said, you know what? This is for me. Salvation is for me. God's Spirit is for me. And I'm just going to hold on to it. And I'm not going to do anything with it. But he didn't do that. And because of that, he was able to reach thousands. And that brings us to our first point. Salvation is not just for you. Some of you guys' minds might be thinking, well, duh, we know that salvation is available for every person who believes. And every person, that's not what I'm going to talk about. I do believe that to be true. In fact, it says in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Now, that's a separate issue. But what I want our minds to try to wrap around is if we have a moment where we have encountered God, if we have a moment where we have accepted Christ into our life, or we've seen something that happens that's just miraculous in our lives, it's not just about us. Now, let me try to say that differently. Let's say if something really big happens in your life, like, I mean, you see an angel, or that was a stupid way to say it. Let's just say you have a miracle in your life. And something really crazy happens. Or you see something that is just like mind-blowing. What do you do? You share about it. Yeah, you share. I heard somebody say it. You share it. Now, back in the old days, you would call people. All the girls would be like, oh my. And you had three-way and four-way calling and all this kind of stuff. You'd be like, hey girl, you're never going to believe what happened. But that was then, because people don't call each other anymore, you know what I'm saying? People, it's weird, right? So weird, you don't call anybody. But if you were living back then, you would call someone and call someone and call someone, and you might even start going, writing a list and going through your phone numbers like, man, who could I call about this? Who could I call about this? And you tell everybody you know, you're never going to believe what happened. I just saw this. Now you have that. Now let's take the salvation experience. We come to church. We make a decision for Christ. We, you know, here at Journey, we choose to ask people to raise their hands. And then what? I think that if we took that experience and we realized and we knew that, you know what? Maybe that decision wasn't just for me. Maybe that decision was for my family. Maybe Christ saved me so that my kids would know Christ. Maybe Christ saved me so that my entire family could be saved. It puts a little bit of a different perspective on the salvation experience when we realize that salvation is more than a one-time experience. Salvation is more than a one-time experience. It has to be more. God didn't die on the cross so that you could raise your hand and never talk about it again. Salvation is a gift, and he's given the gift to you to share with other people. That's good stuff. You know, when we accept Christ and we come to church and we just oh, raise our hands and we accept Christ and we don't take steps. You know, in Acts chapter 2, we just read, you know, these people accept Christ. Then what did they do? They broke bread together. They had church every day. Every day. Oh, praise God, it's just on Sundays now. You know what I'm saying? I love you guys, but I mean, come on. Every day. It was more than a one-time experience. It was more than raising your hand and being baptized. It was more than that. Salvation is more than a one-time experience. Making salvation a one-time experience, you know what that does? It minimizes the cross. Don't minimize your salvation experience. This is the biggest event that ever took place in the history of mankind, so that one day you could stand here and you could accept Him and He would come inside your heart and He would change you from the inside out. If we minimize that, we have minimized what Christ did on the cross. And it was the greatest thing that anyone's ever done. Point number two. You guys all right out there? I'm being kind of serious. Let me lift my eyebrows up a little bit. Point number two. Tomorrow may never come. If we are constantly removing ourselves from our current situation and filling it with tomorrow or the past or what may happen in a month or what happened in, 3 months ago, if we're constantly filling our life with past and future things, it has removed us from now. And the fact is God gave us today as a gift. Now, how many of you like country music? It's okay. It's okay to say it in church. I like country music. You're like, okay. Now, there is a song by a man named Tim McGraw. Ooh, Tim McGraw, he's so cool. Now, I'm going to read part of a lyrics from his song, but I'm going to try not to sing them. You guys can sing it in your head if you want to. It's a little bit hard to read lyrics to a song without singing it. So you never know. In the middle, it might just come out. Okay, it goes like this. I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me, and a moment came that stopped me on a dime. Spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays. Oh, let me get back. Talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what would you do? Now, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but we really don't know what tomorrow brings. In fact, in Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let me tell you guys about, how many of you have heard of hell before? You've heard of that word? Now, right underneath that, if you had to put them on a chart, and you were writing like, hell is the worst thing that could ever happen, right underneath that would be, the next to hell would be Walmart, okay? So you go to Walmart, and it is just like, you just might as well leave your Christianity at the door. You know what I'm saying? Because if that lady pulls in front of you with that shopping cart, what am I, invisible? Hello? You know? Okay, so last night, I'm at Walmart. We're buying groceries. And we get done. Thank God. We get done. And now, the real hard part begins. 72 checking lanes. Two checkers. Now, so we've been together for a while, so we've got this thing down. Okay, honey, you split up that way. I'm gonna go this way, and we're gonna maintain eye contact. Looking down every aisle, and she's saying no. I'm saying no. She's saying no. I'm saying no. It's one of those days, man. It's one of those days. Every person is full. I mean, like, is she buying groceries for a year? Okay. It was so bad. Let me paint you a picture here so you can see what's happening. The lady checking this lady out, she looks at her basket and she goes, man, do you need another basket? That's how bad it is. This lady's got two baskets worth of stuff in one basket. And so here I am. Obviously, no, I'm speaking today. And we have some time to kill. So here we go. Some dead time. Well, let me see what's going on outside of what is going on in my world. Ooh, I got some text messages here. Now, here I am. I have removed myself from any opportunity from letting God use me in any way. Because I am not engaged with what's happening in the moment. So here, this lady is checking out, and it gets worse. It gets worse. You know when you're in a hurry and you're trying to get home? And the lady, the Walmart lady and this other lady are just like having a full-blown conversation. And they've never even met each other. And here they are, they're talking, and she is literally holding up every outfit, going, wow, look at that. Did you get this here? I'm going to have to get that for my daughter. Okay. I'm like, oh, my. Every single outfit. She spent $300, just so you know. I mean, I don't know if I've ever spent that at Walmart, and it's ringing at beep, beep, and it's taking forever. But I'm watching this checker, and you know what? She is loving life. I mean, she is talking, and she is loving it. She is living in the moment. Now, most checkers, they are not like that. They're like zombies, you know? They just pass the thing, pass the thing, pass the thing. But this lady is living in the moment, and I'm watching her, and these two ladies engage. When the one lady could have disconnected and just let the lady bring the stuff, but they're having it. They are having a moment right there in Walmart. And then we finally get up there, and it's really raining. Did you guys hear the thunder last night? I don't know what was going on, but it was a little bit scary. But I'm in Walmart, and then I get up there, and I'm trying to be nice. You know, I'm in a hurry. I'm like, hey, how are you? And she goes, wow, God is really doing some work out there. And I'm looking at her like, she has done lost her mind. You have lost your mind. She's talking about the rain. I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Yes, he is. I don't know. I mean, it's just rain. But this lady really grasped the idea. Some of you guys are thinking like, listen, she's working the register. She got to do something to pass the time. She can't remove herself from the situation. But no, but this lady, she was engaging. She was engaged in the moment. Every person that walked up, she was talking to them and listening to them and doing all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I want what that lady has. I want to be engaged in the moment. And this lady realized this. That every moment she had was an opportunity given to her by God. God has given you today as an opportunity. Every moment. And when you don't engage in that moment, you may have missed an opportunity that God has given you. Because when you become saved, when you get Christ inside of you, life is no longer about what you want. And life is no longer about your desires. Life becomes about God. And every day, God has given you moments that you may have missed. Maybe when you're with your kids and you're playing on your phone, maybe it's time to put down the phone. I'm the worst. You know what? You know when I realize I'm the worst? It's because I'm playing with my kid. I got a 2-year-old and I got a 3-month-old. And I'm like, I'm just chatting it up. My mother-in-law's there and my wife's there. And she's like, I'm like, honey, I cannot wait till I can play baseball with Oliver. And leave it up to the mother-in-laws. You know what I'm saying? She goes, you should. I'm like, dang, you got to make everything so serious. I didn't mean it like that. But she had a point. I'm already waiting for the next thing. Why can't I enjoy where he is now? Why can't I enjoy the things that he's doing? I'm already thinking baseball and basketball. And he may not play basketball or football, whatever. It's okay, but you get the point, right? And I'm always waiting for the next thing. I have to learn to live in the moment and enjoy it now. Those dead moments are God opportunities. We need those. We need those to take time to pray and don't do anything with our mind. We can't always be going. We can't always be doing. There has to be some time and moments where we stop. This is going to be tough to do when I leave today because I'm the worst. Okay. Personally, I want you to think about this. Are you taking advantage of every moment and opportunity that God has given you? Maybe that's you. Maybe every break in the day, you are filling it. Maybe every time something is boring, you are disconnecting. Maybe that's a moment where God is going to speak to you. And it brings us to point number 3. Today is the day of salvation. Salvation is meant to be shared with everyone. It's not tomorrow. It's not the next day. It's today. I want you guys to realize your salvation is about today. It's not just about when you get to heaven. I can remember about 5 years ago, I was preaching, and there was a lady out in the audience, and I said this. I didn't really think about it before I said it. It just kind of came out. And I said, you know what? When you raise your hand to accept Christ, it's more than just about making it to heaven. I mean, you can pray a prayer and accept Christ and believe in him, and you might can make it to heaven. It's not really what it's about. And she just starts crying and crying and crying. And I kept going, you know, salvation is more than saving you from hell. And I could tell it was hitting her deep, because she was a drug addict and she was trying to get past that. And she needed salvation to change her. And that's what salvation is. It's a transformation. It's not a one-time thing. In 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, it says this, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in that day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. And now is the day of salvation. Let's pray. God, help us to realize that every single day we are here is a moment and a gift offered to you. Help us to use it for you. With all of our eyes closed and our heads bowed, I want to speak to a different crowd this morning. So last week we talked about Paul, and Paul had an experience with God where his life was changed and he was a new person. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5. God has made us a new creature for him, and the old has passed. If you're here this morning and you need to make Christ the Lord of your life, it's so easy. The first step is easy. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. And at that moment, Christ is going to come into your heart and into your life. And then your journey begins. So if you're here this morning with no one looking around, we're not going to embarrass you, with no one looking around, if that's you this morning, and you want to accept Christ into your life, would you slip up your hand right now? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Praise God. The Bible says all you have to do is ask. So we're going to ask God this morning. If you raise your hand, would you repeat this in your heart? Heavenly Father, I believe in you. Thank you for the grace that you've given me through the cross. Thank you for the hope that I have for my future. I believe in you and I believe in your Son. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I want to end today's service, today's sermon, by reading the next lines of this Tim McGraw song. It says this, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't. And I became a friend would like to have. And all of the sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition. And I went 3 times that year I lost my dad. I finally read the good book. And I took a good, long, hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And I loved deeper. And I spoke sweeter. And I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. Like tomorrow was a gift. And you've got an eternity to think about it. What would you do with it? Every day is a gift from God. Let's live in the moment.
Amen. Thank you.